Welcome back to the program. Always great to have so many of your calls and your texts come through. Been loving your company again today, so I thank you. We always, at this time of the week, though, have a chat to Campbell Brown, former Hawthorn Premiership star, former Sun. We have a chat about all things racing. He gave us a couple of good winners last week as well, so we'll talk racing very shortly, but let's talk footy first. Welcome to you, Brownie.
G'day, Dwayne.
Pretty excited about the weekend. Would have been nice to have a Thursday night game, but it starts tonight. Port Adelaide got a couple of good ins as well, so looking forward to see what Port Adelaide deliver and what Robert Harvey can produce next for Collingwood, because it's been an up-and-down journey so far for halves.
Yeah, it certainly has, and it's a massive game for Port. They're in fourth at the moment, and didn't think they played the greatest football last week. If they are to win and go deep into September, they probably need some more inside 50s. They only had the 43, and they were pretty efficient going forward. But I think the trio, the Bursey trio, Butters, Dersma and Rosie, will add plenty of spice to that forward line, because they can't rely too heavily on Big Charlie Dixon. I think they need good sides to have a really good spread across the board, and that's what they need. But I think that they'll be far too strong tonight.
Yeah, I think they will be too with those three back. And I think you're spot on about the depth of options that Port Adelaide need if they're going to win the flag. They can't be too Charlie-centric. Everybody knows that if they're Charlie-centric, that they can be stopped. Carlton, North Melbourne, the Mackay boys head-to-head. Are you looking forward to this one as well?
Yeah, I'm loving this one, and I've just been loving their banter right throughout the course of the year. Big Harry saying he'll stitch up the Coleman if his brother plays on him, and Ben saying, well, he gets the best forward, so it's probably Levi Casbolt. That's just brilliant. And I think the Kangaroos last 5 or 6 weeks have been magnificent. If Benny Cunnington had played last week, you know, they might have even been able to pinch that game against Essendon. So he's a big inclusion for them. It's not a game that Carlton can afford to lose, and I think that they'll win.
Yeah, I think for the same reason. Lions and the Suns, we all expect the Lions to win at the Gabba.
Yeah, they should be winning. I was really impressed with the smalls for the Suns last week. It was Ainsworth and Sexton and Holman that really hit the scoreboard. They kicked 9 of the 11 goals between those three. So they still need Isaac Rankin and Corbett and a couple of the other guys playing some better football to be, a more consistent side. But I think Brisbane would have learnt a fair bit from last week's loss, and in particular just how they can work a little bit more defensively to cover Marcus Adams. But, you'd expect the Lions to be winning. They've got plenty to play for.
Massive game at Optus Stadium, the afternoon game, the late game in the afternoon between the West Coast Eagles and St Kilda. It's huge for the Saints. It's huge for the West Coast. And if they can get something going to the West Coast, if they can get a few players back, they still look like a threat to me.
Yeah, they're a good side, aren't they? And I'm not sure why it just hasn't clicked consistently this year, but you are right. I mean, they get big Kennedy back up forward, and it's probably not the greatest week to lose Tom Highmore and Rowan Marshall. I think, outside of the big nank for Richmond, there's no more important ruckman or player for a particular side than when Rowan Marshall's playing for the Saints. They just look like a different outfit, and he can go forward and kick a goal. So obviously he's in isolation, so it's going to be a big ask. And West Coast Eagles, even with a few of their really good players like Luke Shuey and Petrocelli out, you'd think that at home they should be a little bit too strong and have too much firepower up forward for an injury depleted Saints.
So the match of the round, Melbourne Bulldogs, MCG Saturday night.
Cracking game, isn't it? And Bevo does what he always does. He seems to move the magnets, and he's happy making plenty of changes, even to winning sides all year. So it keeps their playing list on their toes, at least. I love the fact that he persevered with Hugo Hagen last week after a disappointing sort of debut. But you expect that from a first gamer, and he was terrific last week. He really looked confident. His hands were good. His set shot routine was beautiful. And to kick 3 goals, I thought was a really good foil for a couple of their big forwards who didn't fire last week in Bruce and Norton. So, Doggies, I just like the way they hunt the footy, hunt the man, and I think that they'll be too strong for the D's.
I didn't want to start by talking about Hawthorn to you, Brownie, but here we are. We've arrived at the Marvel Stadium Hawthorn Adelaide game. What have you made of the hoo-ha this last week of Sam Mitchell's declaration that it's going to work and they'll make it work, and that they have always thought that they would be able to make it work. And Clarko reconfirming all of that today at his press conference.
Yeah, it's all, I always tend to laugh at some of the publicity and leaks that come out around Hawthorn, because from my experience, they're always categorically wrong. And, you know, I know that Caro's got her sources, but these are two guys that are very similar. They're both you know, extremely focused at the job at hand. They've made it work for 20 years, you know, as captain, a player and coach, as captain and coach, and now as, you know, assistant coaches. And I just can't see why all of a sudden they're going to have an issue. I think that the media have tried to beat this up into something that it's not. And in any organisation, any footy club, you can have really, you know, strong, heated conversations. And it doesn't mean that, you know, the two parties hate each other and want to split up and things like that. I just think that there's a lot of misreporting going on, and there has been for a little while around Hawthorn, and in particular Clarko, from certain media people.
So do you think there's a bit of barracking for it to not work?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it hasn't worked in the past for other clubs, and I mean, there's a fascination around Hawthorn, and there has been for a while. They've been extremely successful. They're a club that don't leak. Caro sort of insinuated that they're leaking as much as they ever have. They've got a really strong board, and that's one of been their biggest strengths, because they've been prepared to make really tough decisions on their playing list and, you know, on their constitution when they've needed to, and certainly in this situation on their future coaching, the way it's going to go forward. So, yeah, there's probably people out there that want it not to work, and they think it's a big story. But, you know, I know both of them personally. I know a lot of people at the footy club, and they've got absolutely no issues with how it's going to go forward, and they laugh at a lot of the accusations and things that are said in the media.
Even Ross Lyon, though, on Footy Classified, kind of gave us the indication that because Sam Mitchell and Clarko didn't do a press conference together, how much can we believe? So there's even sort of, it's not just journos like Caro, it's people that have been heavy hitters inside the game for a long time that are doubting it.
Yeah, but unless you're in the four walls, Glenn, how do you actually know? It's like when you watch a player get injured on the footy field, and all of a sudden everyone immediately becomes a doctor and goes, oh, geez, he's done his hip pointer there, Dusty, or he's hurt his ribs or whatever.
Yep.
You're just guessing. Until you actually, you know, get the proper information or know what's going on, then you find out exactly what's happening behind the four walls. But we're all in the media, and some people are more informed than others. But I think people read too much into things. And quite often it's more of a guess, and it might be an educated guess, but even educated guesses are not always accurate.
So last one on this, should Sam and Alistair be offended that people don't believe them, even though they've stated it over and over again that it's got to happen and they'll make it work?
Well, I think they're entitled to be a little bit upset and crabby, because to my knowledge, in the 20 years that Alistair Clarkson's been in the system as an assistant coach at Port Adelaide and a senior coach at Hawthorn, his word is his bond. I don't know if he's ever gone back on something he said publicly. And so why all of a sudden are people questioning him right now? And obviously, you know, Sam Mitchell's just been plugging away in the background, and this has been formulated by the board and agreed upon. But now they're questioning sort of his integrity as well, and things like that. So, yeah, if I was them, I'd be upset. And Sam Mitchell's come out and clarified exactly what his position is.
So, do they win? They beat the Crows?
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue, Dwayne, because I can't catch Hawthorn. I thought they'd go down to Tassie and convincingly beat the Dockers, and they got pummeled by 10 goals. And I didn't give them a hope in hell last week against Melbourne, and they came out and put up one of the performances of the year, and, you know, we're probably unlucky not to come away with the win. I thought they were the better side, and you know, the draw was a little bit disappointing for the Hawks. So, I mean, they should be beating the Adelaide Crows, because I think Adelaide started the year off fantastically and have gradually just dropped away a little bit in their capacity and work rate and you know, the ability to hit the scoreboard. But it depends which Hawthorn rocks up.
Swans are the story of the year, aren't they? 16th last year. They won 5 games for the whole year, and now they're actually a genuine premiership contender and look like they're getting better.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And, you know, I'm loving the game of McCartan at the moment. I think he's been one of the most improved players in the competition. And I think I said to you throughout the course of this year that I expected the young Sydney Swans players, you know, Goulden and McInerney and Fox and Wicks, to gradually drop away a little bit throughout the course of the season as they get a bit tired and injury and fatigue. But they just continue to get better, these guys. So while they're playing this brand of footy, they can go as deep as they want to go. And, you know, 40 points down halfway through the second quarter against GWS to come back and win in the circumstances that they did, you know, it was one of the great victories for the Sydney Swans.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, we always get told, and that's always the mode of commentators, never give a game up. You know, when the team's 35 points down, you always have the belief and you always got to talk it as if there could be the comeback. And it so often actually is the case, especially when teams get a big lead. And when the good teams like the Sydney Swans get down, they can fight back. It's one of the beauties of the game. I reckon there would have been a lot of Swans fans thought they were just about dead and buried in that game. But the fight back was just a dream to watch, especially when they've got so many good stars. Geelong and Richmond got plenty of good stars as well. How do you think this one will unfold?
Yeah, Geelong going beautifully at the moment. They've won three in a row and are only just getting stronger. If you look at their ins, you know, Lockie Anderson comes back. It shores them up in the defence. And Gary Rowan adds another avenue forward. They're just playing a great brand of footy. And, you know, Richmond probably, they just don't have much luck in terms of injuries, do they? You know, they're just starting to get a couple of players back, you know, like Edwards and then Curvis was terrific last week, but they lose Dusty and Camden McIntosh. So they're going to be up against it, Richmond, for the remainder of the year.
And Essendon and the Giants, it's sort of like a mini half elimination final.
Yeah, it is. This will be a terrific contest. I can't work Jeremy Finlayson out because when he's playing and kicking goals, he's a really good player. He's kicked multiple goals or more on six of his 13 occasions this year, and he finds himself dropped out of the side. So probably like a few Giants players, the inconsistency of form between their best and their worst is just not good enough, and that's why they're getting inconsistent performances week in, week out, and quarter by quarter. So, yeah, look, Essendon should be believing that they can make the finals. They weren't super impressive last week, but they got the job done, and probably on the back of Jakey Stringer. You know, he was absolutely superb. Heppel down back was terrific. They just stood up in the big moments, those leaders. Stringer re-signed, so there should be a lot of positivity around the Essendon Footy Club this week.
Great to have you, Brownie. Stick around. We'll get a tip or two after the break. We'll take a quick break. And Brownie's in form, so you better wait around. Welcome back to the program, Brownie. Thanks for sticking around. You gave us two from two last week when it came to winners and did pretty well with the AFL tips you gave us as well. What have you got for us this weekend?
Yeah, going to go to Caulfield tomorrow. Race four and race five are the two I'm looking at. Race four, number one, La Mexicana. Very, very nice horse for Anthony and Sam Friedman. And this filly goes really well on the soft track, which we should get tomorrow at Caulfield. It's got a good first up record. Jamie Carr's in the saddle. He's ticking a few boxes, Dwayne. And my best of the day comes in the very next race, race five, number four. It's a horse from Tasmania that won a few down there, decided to come across to the mainland, and it's been terrific since it got here. And Beyond, it's called. It's about $4.80, undefeated six from six, and I think it'll make it seven from seven. It's a pretty good horse. Lockie Niendorf has got a 2 kilo claim, and it should be getting back and running over the top of them late there at race five, number four. So fingers crossed I can go two from two again this week.
Love your work, Brownie. Always good to talk to you. Enjoy your weekend.
Have a great weekend. See you, mate.
You can catch the winners with Brownie from 9 a.m. tomorrow with Miles Fitzner, SEN Track. Catch Brownie on Trackside right across the weekend on SEN Track as well. Olympics are coming your way on SEN for the next couple of weeks. All eyes on Tokyo. And the opening ceremony, by the way, 8:30 p.m. tonight. You can catch that on 7. 8:30 p.m. tonight, Australian Eastern Standard Time, hosted by Bruce McAvaney. Joanna Griggs will be part of the commentary. Hamish McLaughlin, Abby Gelmi, Kumi Taguchi as well. Tokyo 2020 live, free, in high definition on 7 and 7 Plus, the only place to see it all. You'll hear it all on SEN, obviously, as well. I'm having a couple of weeks off while the Olympics are on. So thank you to everybody that's called through, sent through a text, been part of the program again this week. Midday Madness, we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time and we'll talk more AFL. So I'll catch you in a couple of weeks. Bob and Andy, looking forward to your company next.